Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
If you have a Bible with you and want to follow me, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this morning. And here's what I'm going to talk about this morning. I'm going to talk about, does the resurrection really matter? Does it really matter? In seeking God over this service, could have preached on a lot of different things, but I just felt like this was it. And so I want to talk about, does the resurrection really matter? You know, there's a lot of people that believe, that don't believe, that the resurrection ever happened. Matter of fact, it would surprise people to know there's a lot of supposedly Christians that don't believe the resurrection ever happened. There are a lot of people, let's say it this way, there are a lot of Christian, quote, end quote, theologians that don't believe the resurrection happened. They believe that Jesus died on the cross, but he wasn't raised from the dead. So my question this morning is kind of apologetic preaching. That's a good term for we're going to argue. Some of you Christians, you may have been in bookstores and see books as a category called apologetics. That basically means I'm going to reason out of the scriptures today and argue about whether Jesus' resurrection really does matter. Does it matter that we believe this? Well, let's find out. You know what the Bible says. Someone said one time, you know, for something to be scriptural, it has to have scriptures, right? So honestly, if you just, you know, a lot of times people want to argue historically, you know, well, we found this and this proves the Bible. You know, I believe the Bible before we ever found that. You know, they're still looking for the Ark of the Covenant. And boy, they say when we find that, that'll be a great day. It's already a great day for me whether you find it or not. I don't know where it's at. Some Ethiopians claim to have it. I don't know whether they got it or not. But I do know this, it did exist. How do you know? Because I believe the Scriptures. See, Paul said Christ died according to the Scriptures. He was resurrected according to the Scriptures. So even though I didn't see Jesus after he was resurrected, though many did see him after he was resurrected, many saw him resurrected. But even though I didn't see him, I believe the Scriptures. Now you can either choose to believe the Scriptures or not believe the Scriptures. It's up to you. It don't matter to me. It's not going to affect my life one way or another, whether you believe it or not. I've chose to believe. Now I hope you believe, because it will affect your life. I don't even believe in hell. Well, I hope you're ready to go, because the Bible says it's real. See, I believe what the Word says.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. And so, you know, it doesn't matter to me about the historical things and all that. That's all fine. But I'm going to tell you, there were some people in history that did believe this. I'll tell you some people that really believed that Jesus was raised from the dead. It was those Roman centurions that were guarding his tomb. They believe he lived. Hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? They were paid. You know, they were paid guards. That's what they did for the Roman government. And if you know anything about that kind of job, it's not a kind of job I'd put in for. Because if the prisoners escaped, they killed you. Jesus escaped. See, remember, when they put Jesus in the tomb, they went to Pilate, and Pilate had just about had enough of all this anyway. He didn't want to crucify Jesus to start with. He wanted to let him go. But he ended up going with the will of the people, even though he didn't want to do it. He washed his hands and said, I'm clean, I'm innocent of this man's blood. And so Pilate was trying to get Jesus off. He was trying to get him out of it. Of course, we know it was the will and plan of God for Jesus to go to Calvary. But Pilate's trying to wash his hands of it, like, I don't want anything to do with it. And now here they come back to him with another request. Wasn't enough that they wanted Jesus crucified. Now they said, now wait a minute. We remember that deceiver said that after he died, that in 3 days he would be resurrected. They knew more than his disciples knew. They didn't even have that figured out. But they had paid enough attention, and they told Pilate, said, look, man, you've got to seal that tomb. You've got to give us a guard over that tomb, because if this man, if his disciples come and steal his body away, this will be worse than the first thing. Because, I mean, you know, he did all those miracles and people believed on him, but if the disciples can put it over that he rose from the dead, we really got problems on our hands. And so Pilate said, okay, you got to watch. And so these guys go watch the tomb, you know, and then came the morning. It began to be a shaking. And all of a sudden, you know, light comes out of that tomb and Jesus comes out of there. The stone was rolled away. They didn't have to roll the stone away. He could have come through the cave.
That's right.
With that glorified body, it's got different molecules. It can walk through a wall.
That's right.
And so when Jesus was raised from the dead, see, those guards, they knew. But the religious leaders told them, said, we'll just give you some money and you say that it's this, you fell asleep and his disciples stole him away while you were asleep. Last time I checked, people that are asleep don't make good witnesses. But they said, okay, you know, give us the money. And they said, we'll secure you if Pilate hears about this, we'll secure you before the governor. Those men know he's alive. That centurion at the cross, when he saw all that happened, he said, surely. Matter of fact, the centurions that were at the cross, they said, after all that happened, surely this was the Son of God, after all they saw. But does it really matter that Jesus rose from the dead? Well, let's go to the Bible. Let's look at the Scriptures, all right?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. Verse 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Go there. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. It says, now, Paul said, now if Christ has preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? See, Paul's having to deal with this with the Corinth church. And let me stop there just for a minute, okay? Let me explain to you a little bit about the background of all this. So that there's some in Corinth that don't believe that Jesus, that they don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. And so, well, there was a whole group of religious people that, you know, we had the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in an angel. They didn't believe in spirits. And I know this is corny, but someone said that's why they were so sad, you see. Yeah. I said, I didn't make that up. Maybe Pastor Jerry did. I don't know. But how many understand that, and one of the things was this, because a lot, even in modern times today, a lot of supposedly educated people, I'm not against education, but if education gets in the way of the Word, you're too educated.
That's right.
Sorry. The Scriptures make you wise, the Bible says.
That's right.
But a lot of educated people say, the Christians borrowed this from some of the pagan religions that believed in resurrections and believed that people attaining such spiritual heights that they became sons of God and they obtained immortality and so forth. And they studied these things and they believed that the Christians just borrowed this off of the religions of the day. But the thing of it is, if you just think about it, the people in Jesus' days, many of them that, like the Pharisees and all, they believed in the resurrection of the dead, and the New Testament hadn't even been written yet. They were picking it up because it's in the Old Testament. So it predated all that stuff that was going on in those days. In the founding of Christianity. Are you with me now? And so this is what's going on. And the church at Corinth was raised in this kind of culture, and they're having doubts about the resurrection. And Paul said, verse 12 again, now if Christ is preached that he was raised from the dead, how do some say among you that there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty. And your faith also is empty. In other words, there's nothing to it if Christ didn't rise from the dead. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Now that, let me explain that to you. That, you know, falling asleep means their bodies have died. You see, God made us spirit, soul, and body. And He says that he's going to resurrect this body. Amen. But he doesn't consider us complete until we're back spirit, soul, and body again. In other words, so part of us, when we die, is asleep. But our spirit and our soul go to be with the Lord. In other words, it's not like you go into nothingness, you go be with the Lord. Amen. Are you with me now? Yeah. See, years ago in the church, especially around Old Pentecost, they used to teach something called soul sleep. Now, soul sleep meant that when you died, you were just unconscious until the resurrection. You didn't know anything. But Paul said he could make up his mind whether to be present with the church at Corinth, or excuse me, at Philippi, or to be present with the Lord. He said, I'm hard pressed between the two, whether to stay and help you or depart and be with Christ. To be with Christ is far better. Well, if you're dead in the ground, not knowing anything's going on, I'd rather be here on the earth. Hello, somebody help me. You say, listen, this is the most hell I'm ever going to live in right here. And I'm enjoying the fire out of it. I love living. I love my life. I got a good life. Well, because it's blessed of the Lord. But this is as bad as it's going to get. Yeah. It's just going to get better. Yeah. So if I was just going to die and lay in the ground and not know nothing, I'd just rather stay here. Yeah. Paul said, I can't decide what to do. And finally he said, well, because you need my help, I think I'll stay. I thought, boy, he's more of a man of God than I am. Because Jesus would show up in my study today and say, you can either stay here and help the saints in Evansville, or you can come and go to heaven. I'll say, thank God for Pastor Chuck, Pastor Jerry. There's plenty of preachers in Evansville. I'll see you. But Paul said, I'm going to stay. Amen? The Bible said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Remember that story that Jesus told in Luke's gospel about the rich man and Lazarus? They weren't asleep. They knew what was going on. You see, your spirit, soul, and body, the main part of your spirit, you have a body you live in. Amen. But yet, that body is going to go to sleep. If the Lord tarries, it's going to go to sleep. But thank God it's going to get woke back up. Pardon my English, it's going to get awakened. Amen. Now, all right, verse 15, I don't know how far we got down, but let's go back to verse 15. Paul said, yes, and we're found false witnesses of God because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. See, if he didn't defeat death, there's no way we are. See, let me say this to you now. When the Bible talks about death, you have to understand the Bible has a broader picture of death than we do. We just think of physical death. But the Bible talks about spiritual death. See, spiritual death is what caused physical death. Remember in the garden, if you've read your Bible, in the Garden of Eden, God told Adam, he said, the day you eat the fruit of that tree, he said, you will die on that day. Well, he did not die physically that day. It was many, many years later when he physically died. But he died spiritually. Spiritual death means the spirit man is separated or cut off from God. There's no spiritual life in there any longer. It's just got just that natural life that it was that it had in the, you know, when it was when you were born. But and that's not a good way to say that, but I'm not gonna clear that up. All right. I'm preaching on something else. But my point is, if Jesus didn't defeat death, there's no way we're going to. In other words, if he wasn't resurrected, we're in trouble. Because there's no way we're going to be resurrected out of our sins. And there's no way we're going to be resurrected physically. We are, see, a lot of people don't know this. I don't want to go too deep in theology today. I'm preaching on the resurrection. But a lot of people don't know this. Until Jesus Christ paid the price for man's redemption, man was still legally under the dominion of the devil. Now, when you study your Bible, and you can look this up, well, tell me where it's at. No, find it yourself. When you study your Bible, you're going to find out that when man, before Jesus was resurrected, when man died, he went into the heart of the earth, just like the righteous went down there as well as the wicked went down there. They went into a place called Hades, place of departed souls. But in there was a compartment called Abraham's bosom. And the righteous went into Abraham's bosom and were in comfort. Remember the rich man and Lazarus? The rich man was in hell, but he could see over into Abraham's bosom. And they were in comfort. But when Jesus, why? Because legally man was still under the dominion of the devil. But when Jesus was raised from the dead, he broke that dominion. And the Bible said when he was resurrected that he led captivity captive. Come on. And he led them into heaven. That place is empty now. All those departed believers are in heaven. Hallelujah. You see it in Psalm 24. It said, open your heads, O ye gates. Even be ye lifted up, you everlasting doors. Then you hear this voice, you know, open up the gates. Open up the gates, be lifted up, you everlasting doors. And you hear this voice say, well, who is it? And another voice says, it's the King of Glory. Yeah. I'm thinking, I don't know what angel was keeping the gate that day, but he should go back to training school if he didn't know who that was. Who is it? Where'd you go to school at? So, but when Jesus was raised from the dead, he defeated death. See, that's what Paul's saying when he says, look, If he wasn't raised, you're not going to be raised. And it's more than just a physical thing. It's raised from the death of your sins. Now, verse 17, and if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, you're still in your sins, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are perished. In other words, if there's no resurrection, those who have died, they're lost. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most... this is the New King James, pitiable. We're to be pitied. But now, Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. See, if Jesus didn't defeat death, then we can't defeat death. If Jesus wasn't resurrected, we won't be resurrected. Think about this. He's called the mediator of the new covenant. How could he mediate the new covenant if he wasn't resurrected? There's no way. Now go to Romans chapter 10. I'm going to look at three scriptures and I want to share some things with you, maybe four. But anyway, at least three. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Let me show you something here. What about those, you know, that are saying in their teaching that it doesn't matter whether there's a resurrection? You know, because a lot of people like to prove things, you know. Well, let me just say this to you. Have you ever found Jesus' body? Don't you think, and just think about this. Don't you think that if Jesus' body had been carried away by his disciples and hidden somewhere, don't you think Pilate would have searched high and low to find it? Absolutely. Don't you think that not even so much Pilate, but I guarantee the Pharisees would have searched high and low to find that body. That body was nowhere to be found. Well, it was, but not in the earth. Somebody was walking around with it. Hallelujah. Are you with me now? So you understand that there, even though people say, well, you know, prove it to me historically. Oh, there's plenty of proof. There were 500 people that saw him after he was resurrected from the dead. Now, I thought about this. You know, I was thinking about, what proofs do I have that Jesus is raised from the dead? Well, first of all, I have the scriptures. I choose to believe the scriptures. Now, once again, People can choose to believe him or not believe him. It's up to them. There are people that don't believe, you know, the scriptures. That's their choice. It's a terrible choice to make. I see people that die and they don't believe the scriptures. Now they do now. It's a sad, but it's just a terrible choice to make. But I choose to believe the scriptures. But then I thought, you know, wait a minute here. A dead God couldn't do some of the miracles I've seen. Are you with me? Now, I know that, you know, that there people in the media say, well, there's no proof of miracles. Oh, no, I've seen them. I've seen people, I've seen gross disappear. I've seen people immediately healed. I've seen visible signs. I'm thinking, well, somebody's doing that, and it's not me. Are you with me now? Somebody alive's doing that. It must be Jesus, the one that did it when he was on the shores of Galilee. It must be that same Jesus that's doing these things. Amen. So that alone lets me know he's alive. Amen. Now, Romans chapter 10, look at this. Romans chapter 10. Look with me. Verse number 9, Romans 10, 9. It says, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So how many know you can't be saved if you don't believe in the resurrection? So those theologians, now I'm not their judge, but I'm just reading the scriptures. Those theologians that say, well, we don't really believe in the resurrection. Matter of fact, there's churches in town this morning, they're celebrating Easter and they don't believe in the resurrection. Are they saved? Well, not according to the word, they're not. Not if you don't believe in the resurrection. Amen. I tell you what, the devil believes in it. I said the devil believes in it. Now look, let's go to Revelation chapter 5. Go over here. I like I said, I want to look at a few scriptures this morning. Just preach from them. Revelation chapter 5. Go there. There are, maybe hundreds of scriptures in the Bible that talk about the resurrection. Old Testament and New Testament. So we have proof from the scriptures. Matter of fact, there's even a scripture. You wouldn't even think this is a resurrection scripture, but it has to be, or God lied. In Genesis 17, God appeared to Abraham, and he said to Abraham, he said, the land whereon you're at now that you're a stranger, he said, I'm going to give to you and to your descendants after you. Now that scripture, as unambiguous as it may be, that is a resurrection scripture. How do you know that? Because in Abraham's time, he never did possess the land. So that must mean God's going to raise him from the dead and give him the land. I thought you'd enjoy that. All right, never mind. Praise God. And when you look at some of the things in the Old Testament, you know, and it talks about different scriptures about the resurrection. When you read that, when you think that has to be the resurrection, because Abraham didn't get the land in his time. His descendants did, but he didn't get it. But God said, I'm going to give it to you and to your descendants. So that means in the resurrection, that's Abraham's land. Yeah. Hallelujah. In the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, that's Abraham's land. In the new heavens and the new earth, that's Abraham's land. Hallelujah. Yeah. Now, all through from Genesis all the way through Revelation, there's scriptures about the resurrection. But there's one here, it's kind of, if you're not looking for it, you don't see it either. But there's one here in Revelation I want to show you. It's kind of, we're kind of using it as a scripture that's kind of, it's kind of concealed, but you can see it if you can see the resurrection if you just look at it. Revelation chapter 5, verse number 5. Revelation 5:5, it says, but one of the elders said unto me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, excuse me, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, And in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all of the earth. We say, Pastor, where is the resurrection in that scripture? Well, notice what he saw. Notice what he saw. He saw there stood in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain. In other words, he saw a slain lamb that was standing. Right? Now, wait a minute. What do slain lambs do? Come on, how many? See, a lot of people think that chicken comes in cellophane. Did you know that was a walking around, living, breathing creature at one time? Now, some of us are a little older, and we were maybe on Grandma and Grandpa's place, and maybe they had chickens, or maybe they had neighbors that had chickens. Maybe some people in here, you still got chickens. How many know that you have to kill the chicken to eat the chicken? This isn't pleasant. But have you ever seen how they kill chickens on the farm? Do you really want to know? All right. But they kill the chicken. And the chicken for a while doesn't know it's dead. And it'll run around for a little bit. And all of a sudden it catches up. My head's gone. And what happens to it? Falls over. So anytime you kill an animal, what happens to it? Falls over. How many any hunters, you know, you shoot the deer, it falls over. You slay the lamb, it falls over. This lamb was slain, he fell over. But he got back up. And when John sees him, he sees him after he's back up. He's standing. Hallelujah. See, this lamb standing back up is what defeated the devil. Oh, man. I'm telling you, the devil, when Jesus was crucified, I think he thought he'd won. But then when he saw him standing back up, he thought, oh, I'm in trouble. He just defeated me. Hallelujah. He defeated death. He defeated hell. He defeated the grave. Amen. Now, what I want to talk to you this morning, just a little bit of time, just give me a little bit more time here. What I want to talk to you this morning is, we're talking about, does the resurrection matter? How many can see just a few scriptures that we've read this morning that if you don't believe in the resurrection, one thing, you're not even saved. I don't care if you call yourself a Christian and you don't believe in the resurrection, according to the Scripture, I'm not your judge. God's your final judge. But the Scripture says that you got to believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead to be saved. So that's pretty plain to me. Amen. You know, not everything that says I'm Christian is Christian. Not every minister that says I'm a minister is a minister. Some of them aren't even saved. Amen. You know, not everything that portrays itself as Christianity is Christianity. There's all kinds of things going on in the world today that really has nothing to do with the Bible that's labeled Christian. Now, the world thinks that's what Christianity is like. But if they really got around true believers, they'd find out that we don't even believe most of the stuff that's portrayed as Christian. People have, they have their ideas. Years ago, there was a church in town where I was my hometown, and there was a church in hometown, in my hometown. I was on staff at the Revival Center, the Gleason Revival Center. When I say on staff, there's only two of us. That's how big the staff was. Well, that's wrong. There's four of us. I think there became five of us at one time. But anyway, I was full-time, is what I mean, associate pastor. But there was another church in town that I preached some at. And I got around some people that didn't know the Lord, and they began talking about that church. And they began talking to me about that church. They didn't know I preached at that church. I just let them go on. They said, did you know there's an inner circle in that church? I said, there is. Yes, they've got an inner circle. Well, whatever that's supposed to mean. I don't know what the difference between the inner and outer, but anyway, they had an inner circle. He said, oh, yeah. He said, you know, he started telling me the things that they did. After he got done, I said, well, you know what? I preach at that church. I must be in the inner circle. I mean, that into the conversation. They used to say about us that all kinds of rumors, because I heard them before I was saved. I'd hear about I was at the Revival Center, but I heard about the church before I was saved. My mom went there. But I'd hear people talk about it in town, about what all that went on. And they would say that, you know, that I hear that they locked the doors and they turn the lights out and they roll on the floor. Well, as a sinner, I didn't know whether they did or not. But I got saved in that church. Started preaching in that church. Went to that church. And I found out that they don't turn the lights off at all. I also found out they didn't lock the doors. And also found if you rolled on the floor and God knocked you down, you better thank God. Amen. A lot of things people make up, see. And a lot of things people believe about Christianity, it's not even true. Not even remotely what we believe. You know. Now, there are some things that Jesus brought to us when he was resurrected. And I just want to just share them with you, and we're going to receive communion, and then we'll be done for the day. How many are glad he's alive?
Yeah.
All right, what did Jesus' resurrection, what did it do for me, Pastor? Well, number one, it brought life to you. Romans 8:2 talks about the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Now notice it's the law of the Spirit of life in, come on, help me out, in Christ Jesus. That means it wasn't here before Christ Jesus. In other words, he introduced a new law, and it the Bible says it's made us free from the law of sin and death. Whenever I preach on this, I always think about this because I've taken some flying lessons and, you know, maybe I will again someday. I don't know. I've prayed about it. I'm trying to, you know, I'm just praying about it. If I ever do it again and finish it up, I don't know. We'll see. If the Lord tells me to, I will. If not, I'll avoid it like the plague because I didn't really care that much for it. I mean, I like to fly places. Don't misunderstand me because I'd rather do that than drive. But I don't, you know, I just never had much desire to learn to do the thing myself. But, you know, I can fly some. Hallelujah. Doesn't that comfort you? You want to go for a flight? I've taken Phyllis up. She's back. Camden up. They're back. So, obviously, I can get you back. Like a guy told another guy, you know, he said this other guy had his own airplane, you know, and this one guy, he didn't have his own airplane, but he had people that flew in places. And sometimes the pilot would let him sit up front, you know. And he told his friend that was a pilot that had his own plane. He said, you know, I can almost land. I think I can almost land one of those now. He said, do you know what almost landing a plane is? It's called a crash. You don't want to just almost do it. Well, we almost got it down. You're going to get it down. You're not going to almost. It's just the way you get it down. But I always think about the law of lift, you know, because and the law of gravity. You know, the law of gravity works all the time, right? It's there. But did you know there is a law that supersedes it? It's called the law of lift. That's what airplanes fly on. With thrust and so forth and the airfoil and all that, it causes the plane to fly. It supersedes it. So even though that law is still there, there's something that's higher than it. And when you shut the motors off on the plane, guess what? You're coming down. I mean, that's just because you quit working the law. Once you turn the motor off, thrust is gone. Part of the equation to the law of lift is gone, and that plane's going to come down. Now, around here, that's always a bad... I mean, you can usually land it in the field around here, but sometimes that can be a problem. Okay? Now, see, that's what happened when Jesus was raised from the dead. He introduced a new law called the law of the Spirit of life. And in this world's the law of sin and death. But when we believe His word, act on His word, amen. Well, what do I got to act on? Well, I preach it every week. I'm preaching on it every week. You just come and obey the word, do the word, and that causes you to sail above this law of gravity. Now you quit working it, you're going to come down. Amen. But Jesus came to give us life. Everybody say life.
Life.
Well, think about this. The Bible says in Him was life. What did He do? Well, at Calvary, what Jesus did is He defeated death. How did He do it, Pastor? Well, He took in everything death had to offer. He took it all in, and there was so much life that 3 days later He was back. Yeah. Hallelujah. See, the Bible said in Acts, it says it was not possible that death should hold Him. Hallelujah. Why? Because He is life. He said, I come to give you life, and that more abundantly. So it wasn't possible. Why? Because Acts chapter 3, 15 calls Him this. It calls Him the Prince of Life. The Prince of Life. Or the Author of Life. Or literally, it means the Originator of Life. So the Originator of Life came and took all that death had to offer, the law of sin and death, and it wasn't enough to keep Him dead. Hallelujah. 3 days later, He was back. And He had defeated it. See, He took it all in and defeated it by being resurrected. See, that's what Paul's saying. If He wasn't resurrected, our faith's futile. It's empty. We might as well quit preaching. If we only have hope in this life, then we might as well eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Amen. So He gave us life. Amen. Now, have you ever heard the term eternal life? Have you ever heard Billy Graham preach? Have you know that was his theme, eternal life, right? Now, let me say something about eternal life. Eternal life, which the Bible talks about, eternal life. Eternal life doesn't just mean living forever. Everybody's going to live forever, saint or sinner, either in heaven or in hell, or you're going to live forever. Eternal life is a quality of life. The Greek actually uses the word zoe, Z-O-E, and it means life as God has it. Life in the absolute sense. Amen. Life that was in the Father, which the Father gave to the Son, which the Son gave to us. So it's a higher quality of life. Actually, it's the high life. Miller's not the high life. I'll help you. Some of you didn't. What are you talking about? Well, you know, before I was saved, I was a huge beer drinker. I drank Pabst, not Miller. But sometimes I'd drink Miller when there wasn't any Pabst. And they had on their bottle the high life, Miller High Life. I found out it's the low life. I'm living the high life. Jesus is the high life. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, so it gave us life. His resurrection brought to us resurrection power. Did you know when Jesus was raised from the dead, according to Matthew's gospel, when Jesus was raised from the dead, think about this. Just think about this. When Jesus was raised from the dead, it said many of the bodies of the saints which slept came out of the graves and were seen walking around in Jerusalem. Think about it. Could you imagine you're out barbecuing and Moses walks by? Holy mo. You think that'd freak you out a little bit? See, people saw this. I'm telling you, folks, when Jesus was raised from the dead, so much stuff happened. I mean, the Bible, well, even at His crucifixion, the Bible says that it turned dark. The earth shook. The rocks were rent. They had a veil in the temple that was like 6 inches or more thick, that was separated the holy place from the holy of holies, where God's presence was at. It was ripped in two, the Bible said, from the top, showing that man couldn't have done it. It came from heaven to the bottom. And then we're talking about what a weekend. This is going on Friday. Or however you want to figure it. Sometimes people figure the day is different, but I'm preaching. Sunday morning, they see people walking around, people that were dead, come out of the graves, and they're walking around the streets saying, praise God. You think that might make you repent? What happened? Here's what happened. When Jesus was raised from the dead, the Bible says that the might of His power was released. Ephesians talks about it. Actually, the Greek says His mightiest power. And there's no end to His power. But the mightiest He ever used, He used it when He raised Jesus from the dead. And He got a little, I don't want to sound irreligious here, but He got a little slap happy with that power. And a little of it He let a little bit too much of it loose, and other people started popping up. He said, whoa, we got a little carried away with ourselves here, Gabriel. We meant to raise Jesus from the dead, and He was raised first. The Bible said He was the first fruits of those that slept. And after His resurrection, a lot of people came out of the graves. They got their glorified bodies early. There's people up in heaven already got their glorified bodies. These people got their glorified bodies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, that power was released in the earth. And Paul said to the church, he said, I want you to know what that power means to you. He said, here's what it did to you. It raised you from the dead spiritually. It seated you at the right hand of Jesus, at the right hand of the Father, with Christ in heavenly places, so that in the ages to come, God might just show out His riches of His kindness on you. Hallelujah. Paul said, I want to know His resurrection power. I want to know it. See, that power is inside of every one of us. If we just only knew it. Hallelujah. Number three, it brought to us renewal and refreshing. The Bible says Christ was like He was raised from the dead. We were raised from the dead that we might live in newness of life. That's Romans chapter 6. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. I just remember when I got born again, if I had to put a label on it, it was like everything was new. Hallelujah. It had all changed. Praise God. Number four, it gives us hope. Peter said that the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we were begotten again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In other words, no matter what's going on in our life, we have a living hope because Jesus was raised. No matter what we're facing, because Jesus is alive, we can beat it. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to close with just one last scripture. Did you get something out of this today? Just a little exhortation, a little apologetics here. But let's go to Isaiah 26, and this is it for today. We're going to receive communion. Isaiah 26. Aren't you glad Jesus is alive?
Yes.
Come on, we need to celebrate that. Not just today, but every day. Isaiah 26. Go there. You know, he said, because I live, you're going to live also. I've told you before, I've said this different times, but one of the things I saw years ago in our newspaper, the Evansville Courier, it just stuck with me when I saw it. I hadn't forgot it. I don't know, you know how sometimes just something simple strikes you. And it was an ad for one of the funeral homes here in town. I don't remember which one it was, but they said they were advertising peace through a prepaid burial plot. That you'd have a lot of peace because you knew where you're going to be buried at. And I thought, well, you know, it's good to be ready. It's good to be prepared because if the Lord tarries, He's coming, all of us are going to go that way. I'm believing for another way out called the rapture. But if He should tarry, you know, He wouldn't have to tarry very long for some of us to go the way of the grave. I mean, Pastor Chuck, he's got a birthday tomorrow. That'll put him 2 years older than me now for a little while. Amen. Well, not quite, but how many understand what I'm saying? So they talked about, you know, how you'd have peace because you got a prepaid burial plot. I thought, you know, I don't think that gives me a whole lot of peace, knowing there's a hole out there waiting on me. I'll tell you what gives me peace. Knowing if I go in the hole, I'm coming out. Yeah. Hallelujah. See, we use this scripture a lot to preach a lot of different things, myself included, where Paul said, I reached for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And we reach that as motivational preaching, and it's nothing wrong with that. But when you read the context, what he's talking about, he's talking about the resurrection of the dead. I'm going to be there, he said. I'm going to attain that. He said, that's my goal. This is Philippians chapter 3, 10 through 14. Read it sometime. That's what he's really talking about. He's not talking about our callings in life, our dreams and our visions that we think of. Although it works for that, you can use it for that. Scripture's got a variety of ways you can apply it. But the point he's talking about, he said, I haven't attained it yet. But he said, I'm pressing on. And I'm going to attain the resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah. Now, I want to show you now, this resurrection is all the way back in the Old Testament, even in the book of Isaiah. We'll close with this. Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26. I was reading this one day and I thought, oh my Lord Jesus, thank you Lord, I see something here. I hadn't seen it before. I was just reading through the Bible, just reading Isaiah, and this is a few years back. I was reading this and I thought, oh, I see something here. Isaiah 26, you got it? Verse 19, it says, your dead shall live. Well, that's resurrection, isn't it? Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye who dwell in the dust. For your dew is like the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Now, before we read on, does anybody remember there's an event that's going to happen, according to the Apostle Paul in Thessalonians, where the dead in Christ are going to rise? What's that event? We call it the rapture, right? When Jesus comes to catch the church away. Read on. He said, come, my people, enter into your chambers, shut the doors behind you, hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation is past. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also will disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. Now, when is it, according to the Bible, that the Lord is going to send his wrath on this earth? Called the tribulation period, right? Right? Come on now, stay with me. So what did he say? He said to his people, come and enter into your chambers, the places I have prepared for you. Shut the doors behind you. Hide yourself for a little moment until this is all passed over. That's the rapture. I said, that's the rapture. That's the resurrection and the rapture right there in Isaiah. The dead giving up. The earth giving up its dead. Us going to be with the Lord. The tribulation taking place. It's right there in Isaiah. Hallelujah. There's a lot of things in Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall conceive. It's all hidden in there. It's in the Bible. I don't know about you. Because Jesus is alive, I can live also. And I'm not going to miss it. Hallelujah. So does the resurrection matter? You better believe it does. If he didn't get raised from the dead, you and I, we're wasting our time here this morning. We might as well go eat, drink, be merry. Amen. Because it's all fuel. But I believe it happened. Hallelujah. He's alive. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.